T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Adam McKelvey out west in Arizona, where our Bill Michaels will be all week long for spring training. Already there, already
in the hot tub,
videos in the hot cigars. Tub. Adam McKelvey at Adam McKelvey, Facebook, Twitter, and the gram. Hey, Adam, good morning. How are you?
Oh, good morning. Do you know what the spring training tradition I love is that the Brewers' off day always falls on a Monday.
Yeah.
So instead of sleeping in on the off day, I'm always talking with you guys, and it gets me up and it gets my day started.
Now, that sounds sarcastic. If you want to move till tomorrow,
no,
we can...
It wasn't. It wasn't sarcastic. It actually is true.
You can hang up and we'll call you tomorrow.
No.
Go back to bed.
No, I'm not being sarcastic. I mean, I'm often sarcastic, but this is true, that it keeps me from, like, sleeping the day away. I'm going to get up and do something.
Isn't there, like, a B-Squad game today, though?
Yes, but we're going to get an update on that and fail to attend.
Oh.
Sorry, Adrian Hauser.
And Suter pitching, too? That's a big story.
No? Yeah.
What it was a big story and what has been a big story is it looks like Orlando Arcia's got some pop in his bat. A couple of home runs. He's up to 3 home runs, I think, and hitting the ball off Yu Darvish the other day. This seems to be a guy who knows there's some competition behind him. Is this the real Orlando Arcia, Adam?
Look, it is promising because he's the guy who made changes, and I think for any player who makes a mechanical change, whether it's a hitter in a swing or a pitcher and a new pitch, like, you want early results, right? When it reinforces that what you're doing is the right thing to do. And I think in that sense, it's important. But it in the sense of, like, drawing conclusions that it's going to go forward through the season, we're definitely in small sample territory because is it maybe like 13 plate appearances? There's just not enough evidence, you know, from a baseball point of view, that it's something that's going to be sustained. So, but look, I've talked to many players who do stuff like this, a guy working on a new pitch. For those guys, spring training results can mean something, just if anything, like psychologically, to show that you're doing the right thing. So I think that's important for him.
Going back to Saturday, Brewers get the win over the Cubs 4-3. Not that it matters, it's spring, but Freddy Peralta, 3 scoreless, hitless innings, walks 1. He hasn't allowed a run yet this spring. What are you noticing, anything different about Freddy, and you think he's going to find a spot in the rotation?
The confidence of Freddy Peralta is like noticeable. You like see it in the way he carries himself walking around. And that's going to be, you know, that's a good thing for a guy coming in. The danger with him, again, on these, there's always, like, alerts on spring training games. I feel like I say that maybe too much, but the alert with Freddy Peralta is, again, over the years, you see guys who pitch winter ball come in and are awesome in spring training because while everybody else is kind of getting back to game shape, it always sounds kind of silly, but, like, players work out all winter and they come in great shape, and then they go out in the field and standing there for X number of hours, you hear it from all kinds of guys that getting in baseball shape is different than getting in shape. So the winter ball guys come in like just raring to go because they've been playing for much of the winter. And I think that's the warning with Freddy Peralta. But again, new weapon, the slider, and to see it play in games is important. And I think that's what Freddie Peralta is looking for this spring is, you know, just get funky swings and see how big league hitters react to this new mix of pitches that he's working with. And that's been really promising because his innings have been quick and clean, and the body language for Freddie Peralta on the mound is incredibly confident. Now, him and Lauer are going for that fifth spot, and another misnomer of spring training, I think, especially more and more, is that, you know, position battles are based on what happens in these games. I think maybe there was a time where that was true in spring training, but I think now everybody is so much more sophisticated about the way decisions are made, and it's based on track record and all these other data points that they're collecting in outings. And I don't think that the decision between Peralta and Lauer is going to be based on anything that happens in these games. I think it's going to be based on what they know about the players coming into the season and how they project them performing moving forward, and that's going to be more independent of these games. So he's going to be on the team either way. He's a bullpen guy if he's not in the rotation to begin the year, and then if he's in the bullpen to start the season, he definitely is a guy to make starts during the year. He's probably like the first, he would be the first kind of plan B guy if he's not in the rotation.
Don't tell that to Brad Nelson. Didn't he hit like 450 one spring training to earn himself a spot on the team, and then he sucked? And then got cut. Remember Brad Nelson?
Well, and the one I remember from even a little earlier is one of the Mouton brothers hit something like 400 in spring training and didn't do much. Angel Echeverria, it seems like the late Angel Echeverria, was another guy who I remember performing really well in spring and then it not translating. So it can be really tricky. Spring training performances always are tricky, and they always said it. You know, you can't put too much stock in what happens in this 1 month of spring training games. But I do think that, you know, it used to be that there were battles and they would use what they saw to make decisions. I really think now that teams come into camp and they know, they have like on paper, here's what our roster is going to look like. And the other part of it that, you know, in many cases comes in is like roster fit. So Logan Morrison is an example of this where, you know, they really like Logan Morrison's bat and they like the idea with this 26th man is basically a position player because of the limit on pitching. The idea of having Logan Morrison on your bench to throw up there in the seventh inning of a game where you need a home run is really intriguing. This is a guy who hit 38 home runs. This year it'll be 3 years ago. So that's not that long ago that he had tremendous success in the major leagues. And they really like that idea. But the question is there a spot on him, not only on the active, the 26th man, like the opening day roster, but on the 40 man, which is full. They already lost Taylor Williams, who's a good arm with an option. They do not like losing players like that. And to get Logan Morrison onto the opening day roster, you would have to make another 40-man move. So that plays into it, too, because you definitely know it's going to take more than 26 guys to get through the season. And anything you do to your 40-man roster has the potential to have effects as the season rolls on.
We've talked about this before, Adam McKelvey, at Adam McKelvey. The roster on opening day, we try to project it out for a month, and then that's just the roster for opening day because it can change the next day, and it has changed the next day, and it changes and changes. But when you talk about the bigger picture in terms of spots that are available, and we will look just at that day because there are, I mean, a lot of platoon situations that could be on this team. How much do you think, from Stearns and Council's perspective, is really up for grabs then in the next couple of weeks? Because it sounds like the rotation might be locked in. You know, these guys are locked in. How many guys are actually fighting then for a spot on this roster?
I think this year it's a very short list because I think on the position player side, it's a matter of, do you want Ben Gamel in the big leagues to start the year or do you wedge Logan Morrison onto the roster? That's really the only question. On the pitching side, it's who is your fifth starter to begin the year, Lauer or Peralta. And they've got bullpen decisions to make. That's legit. Ray Black is the only guy of like the competitors who's out of options, so that is definitely going to come into play. He had a poor outing yesterday where he couldn't command the ball and needed to be bailed out at the end of the game by Wilkerson, and he got out of it, tying run at third, and the Brewers won the game. But they have decisions to make about the composition of the bullpen, and that's going to depend on, look, does Peralta begin the year in the rotation? If not, there's a bullpen guy. What do they do with Corbin Burns? Is he a bullpen guy because they like what they see and want him in the big leagues? Or is he a guy who goes to start at AAA and implement these changes he's made to his arsenal? So there's decisions like that, I think, to be made. And that's going to sort of shape what the bullpen looks like to begin the year. But again, it's going to be – everything they do is going to be done with the idea in mind that, as you said, opening day is a snapshot. That's the word Craig Counsell uses. And we get really hung up on opening day because it's ceremonial, and who makes the team on opening day is a big deal to the players still. I'm not trying to suggest it's not. But they always think about in terms of the season as a whole, and the decisions will kind of reflect that. So I guess I would caution against anybody like etching into stone this opening day roster, because history tells us that they're going to need way more players. I think the last 3 years in a row they've used 30 pitchers, which is a record for the Brewers, and they've done it 3 years in a row now. That's a lot of arms to have coming up and down, and it's kind of the way that they've kept everybody fresh. They've used the whole roster, and I see no reason why that would change again this year.
Speaking of opening day, I would assume Brandon Woodruff will get the start. He goes two innings on Friday, gives up four hits, allows a run, strikes out two against the Dodgers. So it was nice for him to get to see that lineup. But what are your thoughts on Woodruff early this spring, coming off the oblique injury last year? What did you see from him on Friday against the Dodgers?
Yeah, look, I think you nailed it, that it was big that the Dodgers sent over an A team. And I guess the thing is, like, they don't really have a B team.
Right.
They're arguably the deepest roster that any team has put together in the history of Major League Baseball, like from top to bottom. They sent over like a big league roster, and they still had guys that stayed back at Camelback Ranch. But Woodruff and Burns both said that it was a great day for them, because we're talking about the first week or two of spring training games, and you're facing a really good team's A roster. You're facing Mookie Betts and Cody Bellinger in a road game for the Dodgers. And Woodruff and Burns love that, because that's exactly the type of players that a pitcher wants to face at this time of year. You want to see how the hitters react to whatever you're working on. And for Burns, it's everything around his slider, because that slider is such an elite pitch in terms of what the data tells him. So he's sort of has refined everything around that. And for Woodruff, he's working on the slider, which is like 80% of Brewers players in camp, the slider is the hot pitch this year, whether adding it or just trying to refine it. And he's trying to kind of change the way it spins, and it's supposed to induce more deception and just a tighter pitch. So that's kind of his path this year. And look, they haven't anointed him opening day. He's definitely the leading candidate. I just keep waiting to see if they're going to do something weird to like switch things up with what's happened to opening day starters over the last couple of years. That's like so silly. I don't think they're going to do it, but I guess until Craig Counsell tells us that Woodruff is going to start and they're not going to like do some kind of bullpen day thing just to change it up, I guess I'm hesitant to just say, yeah, it's going to be Woodruff. But I think it's going to be Woodruff, and I think that there's really no such thing as a curse.
Craig Counsell at Brewers on Deck answered a lot of questions. He's answered a lot of questions throughout spring training, of course, but there was one answer he gave that I thought was interesting on Ryan Braun.
Ryan's got a really fun year ahead of him is what I think. And I think it's a motivating year. He's already promising me things privately that are, I'm gonna hold him to. I'll tell you that. So I'm interested to see what happens there. But I don't really see it like that as the end. I see it as this is a great career that we're getting to continue to watch. And this year's the next chapter.
It is a contract year for him. This could be his last year if he chooses for it to be that. He's going to be at first base. There's not really a lot of spots for him in the outfield with $10 million to Avi Garcia. How many games are you expecting Braun to get at first base in the outfield overall? Because, you know, he's still got to work on the things defensively and be over there, and he's been over there before. But if Logan Morrison heats up and they keep him, if Justin Smoke's somebody that they want to give at-bats to, I just, you know, I worry that there may not be a lot of spots for Braun to get 130 games this season.
Well, that would be a fantastic thing for the Brewers if that's the case, because it means that Smoke's going good. It means that Garcia was a really solid pickup. It means that Lorenzo Cain has bounced back from all the health things, including that thumb that he got. And it means that Christian Yelich is back and being Christian Yelich again. So if they have a problem getting Ryan Braun to 130 games, 550 at-bats that, you know, you sort of look on paper that you want to get him, then it means that a lot of really good things are happening for this team. So I think that's the way they look at it, because I just remember in 2018 when they got Cain and Yelich, how many times it was, you know, almost daily that we went into Craig Counsell's office in the morning and somebody asked him some kind of question about how are you going to make this work with Domingo Santana coming off 30 homers, a young up-and-coming player, and Eric Thames coming off a huge year at first base. Like, where is this all going to work out? And it did work out. And I guess it's just the history of this game tells you something's going to happen and you're going to be happy that you have that depth, that you're going into the season with kind of a logjam, and you're not going to be disappointed. So I think that's the way I look at it. I definitely think he will play some outfield too. I don't think you should limit him to first base, because they're going to give Cain, you know, Craig Counsell and Lowe Cain have these like battles that are super fun to watch if you ever get to witness one, where Counsell will try to say, look, we're giving you a day tomorrow, and Cain will like kind of fight it, and it's very fun to watch the interaction. But they're going to give Cain more days, and Cain said he's going to have to be open to it more because they want to keep him really strong and productive, because 2 years ago he was an offensive force. I mean, he was an MVP contender, and last year was a total disappointment for him, and a lot of that had to do with his health. So he's going to take some days. Garcia shifts over to center, and then Ryan Braun plays right. Ryan Braun's going to play some first base, as you said. They think that it's going to work out and that the depth is going to become a plus for them rather than something to be concerned about.
It was a nice little weekend for Keston Hira. He had a multi-hit game on Friday, also hit his first homer of the spring, a two-run shot on Friday against the Dodgers. Why do you think that I saw that Pecota had him kind of taking a step back, hit him hitting like 250 this year or something like that, 23 yeah. homers were their projections. Do you think that's just like the sophomore slump thing because there's a lot of tape on him now? Why do you think that people are projecting him to kind of have a slump this season or take a step back maybe?
Yeah, like I'm not a total expert on the data, but here are the two things that I've heard play into that. Sophomore slump is a legit one, that a guy in his first full season, and we've seen it, it can be a challenging season because it's a pitchers and opponents adjust so quickly, and I feel like that's truer than ever because of the amount of prep that these teams do and the amount of data, video, all that kind of stuff that they have to prepare. Teams have these strategy coaches now. The Brewers have one, Walker McKinven, whose job it is to basically game plan for the pitchers and catchers. So that's number one. And then number two is the strikeouts. Like, there's some swing and miss in Keston Hira's game. And the question is whether he can cut that down. And I think the projections take a lot into account pretty heavily the swing and miss in his game, and that's leading to some of the projections being down. I'll tell you, there hasn't been a lot of concern about whether he's going to hit in Brewers camp. The concern has been, can he, you know, become a better defender and stay at second base? And he's been working really, really hard, you know, I don't know, every morning, but a bunch of days a week, first thing with Bob Misick, their sort of roving infield coordinator, and they're kind of remaking him as a defensive player. The way I was talking to Misick yesterday morning about that, they're sort of wiping the slate clean and starting with footwork and trying to make him a good defender. because if he can just be kind of an average defender, the bat looks very special in the long term, and they think they have a really, really special player there. So that the defense has really been Keston Hiura's focus this spring, and I don't think there's anybody on that coaching staff that worries about what he's going to be as an offensive player. So those, when you looked at the projections, that was the one that really stood out to me and a lot of other people, was they were down a little bit on what Hiura is going to do in year number two. How quickly can he adjust to what surely other teams are going to do to adjust to him?
Hey, appreciate you getting up on your day off, my man. Hope that it's worth it and you have a good one.
Well, now I feel guilty about the fact we're not going to this B game. I probably shouldn't have announced that to a live radio audience, because it is rather lazy for the beat guys to not go in, but we've been promised that if there is a notable happening, we will cover it.
I think Bill will be there, our Bill Michaels, so you guys are covered.
Just read out of the box score, pretend you were there. People have been doing it for years in this market.
Well, yeah. There's no box. The problem is there's no box score for a B game.
Ooh, yikes.
Damn.
Yeah. Look, but Bill is our MLB.com deputy today. We do not have an associate reporter / intern program anymore. We've hired more people all around the country, sort of extra guys. So today I am anointing Bill Michaels, our very overqualified and the oldest MLB.com intern ever.
Wow, how about that?
Next year, if you need an intern, I'll make the trip. They don't need me.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, if you need someone to carry your bags to the hotel, I mean, we'll...
I also make coffee.
Yeah, we'll rush out there. Adam, have a good day off. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Adam McKelvey.
Big story on the pitchers coming today that I think is pretty cool. You can see what...
good. I'll read off it tomorrow in the morning show. Make it sound like it's my own.
Pitching story.
Thanks, Adam.
Yeah.
Adam McKelvey joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit GreatMidwestBank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.